This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
I'm Alex Worley, here to help us answer that question. Carlos Gill, he's a social media strategist, so you're going to have a wealth of knowledge in this area. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so first of all, who needs both a personal and professional brand?
Everyone needs a professional
brand. You got that? Everyone. That means
you. Everybody. There's no question about it. Social media is a very noisy ecosystem today. And if you are going to stand out, if you have any chance, whether it's promoting your business or you as an individual, you have to have a personal brand. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Wow. And the reason, I'm sure, is because people ultimately buy from people. And they don't want to just engage with a brand. They want to engage with people behind that brand, right?
You absolutely got it right. People relate to other people. And one thing that's been lost about social media over the years is the key word is social. You have to socialize. And let's think about it. When most people wake up in the morning, they don't go online on Facebook or on Twitter to see a sponsored post from a brand. They go online to check their Snapchat or check their Facebook to engage with their homies. So with that being said, if you want to have any shot at reaching the audience that lives out there, whoever the audience is, if you want to have any shot at reaching them, you have to be much more personable.
You got to be their homie.
You got to be their homie. Snapchat especially is one of these platforms where you're speaking to an audience that's much younger than what you find on, say, Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. You're speaking to a millennial, someone between the age of 13 to 35 years old. And if you want to have any shot at gaining their trust and gain their interest, most importantly, you have to be personable. Just right hooking consumers with sales offers, buy from me, that doesn't work. This is social media, and it's the year 2017 where the demographic and the consumer has become much younger than what we've seen in the early days of Facebook.
Totally. Okay, let's break this down, though, on what that means. Does that mean that you have two separate accounts, one personal account, one professional? Do you mix the two? What do you advise as far as that goes?
So I get asked this question all the time. And my answer is you should have a presence for you as an individual and you as a business. And the reason why is because people, consumers, they want to have an inner glimpse of who you are as an individual. Let's say that you have a startup and you are going through the process of raising money or hiring talent, building the product. People want to see an inner glimpse of that. That's essentially what's going to help build loyalty around your startup or around your company. Whereas the company content is more focused on, let's face it, why you should buy from us, why you should do business with us, and why you should work for us.
So is there ever a time that it's okay to post personal things on the company account?
There's a very fine line between that.
Describe how we tiptoe around that line.
There's a very fine line. So I see companies all the time that, for example, they win an award and they have a happy hour and they're celebrating. That's great. Because break it down into these categories. Why do I want to work for a company is of interest to talent that's looking for employment opportunities. And why do I want to do business with a company? So if the content you create can answer one of those two categories, then go have at it. But if it's just going on social media, pontificate on a personal level, whether it's about the industry that you're in or whatever it might be, that's more of content that should remain on your own personal social network. And I've seen many successful CEOs, even at big brands, like you see T-Mobile, their CEO, John Legere, is very active on social media. And that's more of an extreme example, if you will. But it's an example that any CEO or any executive out there can go ahead and follow to see, here's how I still can maintain my own independence online, separate from my company.
And of course, it's case by case, you know, depending on how personable your brand is, the size of your company, there may be more wiggle room as far as you as the individual, the owner of the company, can be on the company's account, right?
Absolutely. And it goes back to what we said before. People buy from people and people trust people. And ever before social media came out on the scene, business has always been predicated on relationship building. So if someone sees content that you put out and they see, for example, that you are a family man or you're a mom and you have children and they see your hobbies, that's a way that consumers out there can go ahead and relate to you. And if you tap more into the personal side, what's going to happen is people are going to say, wow, this person is relatable. I see things in common with them. And they also happen to run a business. Let me see what they do and let me see how I can potentially help them. And that's something that's lost, I think, in today's day and age, because so many folks out there see social media as an outlet for marketing and advertising. And they think, how can we get as much content out there as quick as possible to drive as many sales and as many new customers, without realizing that it's actually community and not content that is king in this whole ecosystem.
And you need your customers to like, know, and trust you. So this is such a fabulous way of doing that. But I know a lot of people watching and listening are probably going, okay, great. So I'm going to start this personal account, this personal brand. What the heck do I post? So can you speak to that, please?
Yeah. So the first thing is choose the networks that feel comfortable for you. And once again, I get asked, should I be opening up my Facebook to a business audience? Should I be using Instagram? Should I be using Twitter? So the first thing is, whatever network feels comfortable for you. I personally use Facebook as a business social network. For me, Facebook is an extension of LinkedIn. If we can go out, and this is my philosophy, if we can go out at a conference and have drinks at the hotel lobby bar, we can be friends on Facebook. If we can go play a round of golf together, we can be friends on Facebook. And once you start opening yourself up to what you do on the weekends, what you do after hours, the people you hang out with, what you'll start doing is very quickly, you'll start discovering that there's a lot of folks out there in the business community that you have mutual friends with, which is the terminology used on Facebook. Same thing happens with Twitter and with Instagram. So I would recommend anyone out there that's a little hesitant, a little nervous, if you're going to be on these platforms, start opening yourself up. Start showing what you do when it's not always about business.
And I know a lot of people who have two accounts on Facebook. So maybe the more personal things that they just want to share with their inner circle, they share on one account and then they have a business account. Would you advise that?
I see this happen actually in real estate a lot, where a lot of real estate agents out there and brokers, they have a Facebook page set up for the business. And then they have a personal account or personal profile in which they share content from the business account over the personal. At the end of the day, It really comes down to how much time and bandwidth do you have to leverage all your social channels. Me personally, I'm someone that is balancing Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, email, website, you name it. So I personally am not a proponent of having
anything
excessive
extra.
Pages that you don't need to have. Just have it all encompassing in one.
Well, and that's a good question. Is quality or quantity more important? Is it better to be on all these sites or just to kind of knock one or two out of the park?
Knock one or two out of the park. It's definitely about quality. I'll share a story with you. In 2008, I used to work in banking. I was laid off and I started up a company by the name of Jobs Direct USA. And the first couple of years I was on social media, you didn't learn much about the Carlos Gil personal brand. And in hindsight, that was actually a mistake, because the Carlos Gil personal brand was the heart of my company, of my startup. And there was a lot of folks that would hear about my story through back then traditional news media. Again, being a laid off banker, starting up a staffing firm, trying to help people find jobs throughout the recession. It was that story that really was the backbone and heart of my company. That once again, if you look within yourself and you are trying to grow a business, think about how can I use these mediums for people to really get to know me as the individual, to then really reel them in, if you will, so then they know exactly what my company does, the mission, what the problems that we're trying to solve. Make it more about the story and not so much about the product.
Yeah, so start with one or two. You can always expand to all of them. Great story. Thank you so much for your time. My guest, Carlos Gil, he is the social media strategist, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
I went straight into the first bubble in Silicon Valley in 1995 when I graduated college. Triggered my interest in venture was this idea that I can work with a bunch of different entrepreneurs at a time and then have capital behind those ideas, and with a portfolio effect, see a bunch of them rise and fail, obviously, along the way. And the trials and tribulations of being an entrepreneur makes it a really fun kind of balance of my interests. I'm spending a lot of time on Instagram right now. Not a publisher, just a consumer. Funniest meeting was way back in the day. It was actually the Italian porn in a box vendor. That was all you could consume porn for, you know, $19.99 with one black box that you plugged in. I think for most of our investment decisions, it's the quality of the entrepreneur that we're backing. I'd say that's 80% of the battle, is just sort of seeing the fire in the eyes of the entrepreneur. Take more chances, travel more, take longer to figure out your life, what you want to do with it. Raise as little capital as possible to hit the relevant milestones that prove your business will work. And be very capital efficient in how you think about capitalizing the company and hitting the milestones.
Business rock stars.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Attention Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
How to get your brand started on social media. I'm Alex Worley, and here to help us answer that question, Carlos Gill, a social media strategist. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here with you.
Absolutely. So what is that very first step?
The very first step before you ever tweet or put anything on Facebook is to first identify, what's your end game? What are you trying to accomplish? So many folks waste a lot of time on social media doing things like trying to grow a following, trying to create all this content without first identifying, who am I trying to reach? And second, what am I going to put in front of them?
It's a different mindset because most people are on social media for fun, to connect with their friends, and they don't really think about it. You know, they just go, right. Okay, what would my friends want to see? But yeah, really, really being mindful of what you're trying to accomplish will drive all of your decisions, right?
It's like anything else in business. What are your objectives? So is your objective to drive PR for your company? Is your objective to drive sales? Let's face it, every business out there is in business to generate revenue. However, with social media, there is no instant ROI. I think this is one thing that is often lost. Marketers lose it. Executives do, because there's so much pressure to drive ROI. But the reality is that social media is a long-term play for any organization. What I mean by this is you first have to identify who are you trying to reach. And second, what platforms are they engaging on? I do a lot of public speaking all over the world, for example, on Snapchat. And Snapchat's not a platform for every business out there. Snapchat and any social media can really be a big waste of time if you are not being strategic with the platform, specifically the people that use those platforms.
Yeah. So first of all, our audience needs to identify who is your audience, who you're trying
exactly.
to reach. And if you could give us some insight to the different hot platforms, social media sites, and what demographics tend to be on those sites.
So right now what's really hot, especially in consumer marketing, is Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. A lot of folks don't know this, but Facebook actually owns Instagram. And every single time Snapchat has come out with a new update, Facebook, they one-up Snapchat. They try to incorporate Snapchat-like features into Facebook through Messenger. They just recently rolled out live video on Instagram, which allows you to create, you know, live videos through the platform. So those really are the three hottest from a consumer marketing perspective. Now, in terms of demographics, you have a lot of carryover between Snapchat and Instagram. And I get asked this question all the time. Well, should I be on one or should I be on the other? My answer is you should really be on both. If you are trying to sell to anyone between the ages of 18 to 35 years old, you have to be today on Snapchat and you have to be on Instagram. However, the biggest difference is the content that you put on these platforms. That's really what's going to help you stand out.
So even from InstaStory, which is kind of the knockoff, let's face it, of Snapchat, and you're still doing different content for those two?
You have to create different content because the way that content is consumed and created on these platforms is different. Let's think about it. Historically, Instagram, I like to call it the Hallmark card of social media. Everything looks good. Pictures are very well polished. You can use hashtags. There's a strategy within Instagram that you don't necessarily implement on Snapchat. Snapchat content is much more organic. You pick up your phone, you create content as short as 1 second, as long as 10, you post it out. Maybe you use some lenses, some of the different bitmojis or filters on there. But it's very much what I like to consider a grassroots organic content platform.
I feel like that in general, though, is the way that things are going. That's the trend, even on Instagram a little bit.
The reason why that's the trend is because from what I've seen firsthand is younger millennials, especially. I'm a millennial, but I'm on the older millennial side. I'm used to being advertised to. I grew up with cartoons on Saturday mornings with commercials inserted in between those cartoons. But the younger millennials today, and even Generation Z, they are leaving Facebook and they're leaving Twitter and they're jumping over to Snapchat because Snapchat essentially is brand free right now. What I mean by that is as a brand, you really have to earn the attention and the eyeballs of the audience that's on there. It's not as easy as running an ad and getting your content in front of that audience. Snapchat has become very much a brands free platform. And what I mean by that is if you are a brand on Snapchat, you actually have to earn the attention and eyeballs of the consumers on there. It's not as easy as Facebook where you can run a sponsored post and within a few minutes, you can start having people see your ad in between their friends or their homies, as I like to call them, in between their content. Instagram is starting to shift more to be a Facebook-like platform with Snapchat features. And what I mean by this is you can still do stories, very similar to Snapchat. You can use lenses and filters and whatnot. However, being that Instagram is owned by Facebook, you can advertise to the users of the platform. So even if you have no following on Instagram, you can still reach users of the platform by really just putting up a photo or a video.
Right. So Snapchat's not going anywhere, even though Instagram has their key feature now?
Snapchat's not going anywhere. In fact, over the next 12 to 18 months, you are going to see these two platforms battle. They're going to go back and forth. Snapchat rolled out spectacles at the end of last year, which is their sunglasses that snap. Instagram rolled out live video. Snapchat's getting ready IPO. I think you're going to start seeing a Coke versus Pepsi, Nike versus Reebok battle.
So I am one of those people who loves Instagram. I'm on Instagram all the time. Feel like I can barely keep up. So the idea of getting on Snapchat feels very overwhelming to keep up with another social media site. But you really think it's worth being on both.
Here's what I'll say. Once again, if you are trying to market to this audience of 18 to 35 year olds, you should absolutely be on both. You shouldn't be loyal to the platform. You should be loyal to the community. And the community is the one in which you are building, not just on one platform, but holistically on social media.
All right, so I'm getting on Snapchat right after this conversation.
The key, though, really, is the content that you put should be different. And where I'm going with this is if I follow a brand or if I follow you on Snapchat, I don't want to go to Instagram and see the same post. I see this happen way too many times.
Because that demographic is on both, is what you're saying. So you want to provide them with something unique on each
site. Provide original content. And that's where I will say pick one or the other. And if you have to pick one or the other, pick the platform where you get the biggest reach and the most engagement possible. One thing to really look at is the metrics or analytics. So you can see your views on both of these platforms. You can also measure engagement based on people that direct message you. So if your content is on point, as I say, then people will engage and people will watch. If your content, quite frankly, is not good, people aren't going to watch. And that should be a barometer of success for you.
So what is the key to that good content? And then taking it a step further to make sure that your audience is engaging with that good content.
Since you mentioned key, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to DJ Khaled and talk about the keys to success, not just for Snapchat, but for social media. DJ Khaled gets over 3 million views per snap, which is amazing. More than most brands get at all in a matter of a month on any social media network. And the way that DJ Khaled has done this is by being human. People relate to other people. People don't relate to a logo. They don't relate to a pair of sneakers. They relate to other people they see wearing those sneakers or enjoying an experience. So when they see DJ Khaled, who's out in Miami on a pair of jet skis, people say, wow, like this guy's a normal person. And I think more brands need to be more like DJ Khaled than they need to be an actual brand.
And so when you're saying human, you're defining that as just kind of going about their day-to-day life?
It's essentially product storytelling. It's telling a story about your company, products, or services and using people to tell a narrative. And the person doesn't need to be Kim Kardashian or DJ Khaled. The person doesn't need to be this big, well-known thought leader, influencer. The person can be your consumer. The greatest competitive advantage that social media gives any business, from my perspective, is the ability to listen. Most brands are focusing on pushing out content. They're not doing a good enough job of listening to what people are saying about them.
Such good stuff. Thank you so much for all of your advice.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad that you came in today. Carlos Gill, social media strategist. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent...
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new spicy, crispy Zinger Chicken Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger Chicken Sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger and a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Tony Del Mercado, the COO of Hawk Media. It's great to have you, brother.
It's great to be here. I love the double guns every time. It makes me feel welcome.
Del Mercado.
That's great.
So give us a recap. COO of Hawk Media, what do you guys do?
Digital marketing agency. We've positioned ourselves as an outsourced CMO and full digital marketing team. Month-to-month, a la carte contracts, easy to work with, pretty good at driving growth.
How do you guys, you just said driving growth, so how do you guys drive growth? One of the hardest things for most companies, I do consulting myself, I go into businesses, and I would say the number one thing they want help with, and they'll ask it or word it in a different way, but it's generating and converting leads more consistently so their income can be scalable and predictable. So how do you guys drive leads in your business?
On behalf of clients or for ourselves?
Let's do both.
Okay.
Because it's different. I'm sure it's one's B2C, one's B2B.
Yeah. So on behalf of clients, we work with a lot of e-commerce companies, people that are selling something online. at different price points. We sell $1,200 sneakers all the way down to $15 shower products or whatever, right? And helping all of those grow online. I think what's important is to build a good, solid mousetrap. Have a good product, good brand, good website. Make sure you've got a good conversion opportunity and then good retargeting, good email marketing. And then from there, you can layer traffic acquisition on top with like good message match, landing pages, social proof, and those kinds of things. That's the blueprint, give or take, right? Okay. in the B2B space or in the SaaS space or in driving mobile installs, that's a little bit different. For us at Hawk
Media, just a little bit different.
A little bit different. There's longer sales cycles. There's longer, you know, sort of lead nurturing cycles. For us at Hawk, what we've found a lot of success with is my business partner, fortunately, is very much a mover and a shaker, beater of the drum, waver of the flag. And so we've split the business in a very clear way where that's what he does. We also have a sales team with business development people in Seattle and Chicago and San Francisco and Austin and L.A. And we've used HubSpot for automated marketing efforts and kind of lead nurturing and things like that. And then we've kind of from an old school scripting sales mentality, we've tried to really make everything programmatic and manage around a program as opposed to managing around sort of an ideal.
But we
try and be really visible. We throw a lot of events. We nurture leads. We try to be value added. We do free consultations. We do as much as we can for free or for close to free that affords us the opportunity to have conversations with people that might convert to paying customers.
That
just puts us in a good position.
What do you guys do for the events? Because I'm so curious. Events are a very expensive thing.
Yep.
Well, they can be. They're not all, but events typically are expensive and they're very tedious and hard to put together. So just give me a quick contextual example. How do you guys capitalize on events?
Yeah, so we've been doing an event at a place called 41 Ocean on Ocean Ave in Santa Monica here for, 3 years, something like that. It's more of a hang, honestly. People come out, they drink at the bar. There might
just
be
like a
couple
cocktail
speakers.
Party, I think.
Yeah, there might be a couple speakers. But I think what's really important is to understand the folks that you're trying to meet, right? For us, that's specifically a digital marketing meetup, right? We're doing an event downtown Los Angeles. It'll be our second one that's specifically fashion e-commerce, right? We want to make sure that we're targeting people that could potentially be clients for us or could just benefit from knowing who we are and then be advocates and evangelists for us out in the world. I really think that where people make mistakes on events, if I can, is just too many people talking, too much lip service, talking heads up at the stage. Mm. I think for the most part, if you get the right people in the room, deliver a couple high quality messages, maybe a panel, and then mix and mingle. That's what people are there for.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my two cents, right?
Let's talk about hiring. You have about, 60 employees?
Yeah, just about.
Okay, so how do you guys find great talent and then retain the great talent? What does your process look like?
Yeah, so find the great talent. We have a good smattering of like a giant ZipRecruiter account with a whole bunch of opportunities sitting out there at pretty much all times, as well as great. I think the fact that we create a nice, fun place for people to work leads to a lot of other referrals, right? For lack of a better way of explaining that, is we just get referred a lot of great resumes and a lot of interesting people. We also have a quarterly review structure and promote from within kind of structure. So we don't hire at market rate. I mean, I'll say it right now, in front of everybody, we hire for less than market rate categorically. But the upside and the opportunity for advancement based on merit, it's a huge meritocracy. Mm. That's helped us recruit some really, really strong talent that we have no business talking to.
You're doing it based on the possibility of what could be versus what has been.
Yeah, exactly. Not just what could be, but also come heck or high water, we're going to sit down every 90 days and we're going to talk about it. Right?
Because a lot of people will say, well, hire me and pay me this much because of what I have done.
But
you guys are basically saying, hey, screw that. I don't care about what you have done. It's nice. It gives me a great reference of what could be, but I'm going to hire you about, you said less than face dollar. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I'm going to let you prove yourself and you could earn way more than what you have.
And once a quarter, really, what does that boil down to? There's, however many weeks, and then you take out the
weeks.
And so it's like, every 50 some working days, you're going to have an opportunity to prove to me that you've done a good enough job to get paid more
in advance.
And, if you polled everybody at Hawk, which I'm not asking you to, but if you did, I think most of them would say that they're pretty stoked about their compensation and where they've moved up from there. So it's a cyclical thing. You've got happy people that work there, and then they in turn refer other happy people that work there or could potentially work there. And even when people are walking through the office for an interview, they're like, It's a little bit different. Right?
So we talked about how you guys are finding them, and we kind of alluded to how you're retaining them with compensation. So let's dive into how you're retaining them, and then let's shift gears and talk about how do you know when it's the right time to fire somebody. But first, how do you retain them?
So retention to me is like, it's all a big secret. It's not really a huge secret. It's just like, create a place that people want to go every day, right? They're solving problems. They're intellectually challenged. They are seeing their friends. They're compensated, not just financially, but emotionally and high fives. And like, you know, I mean, if you create
it
an environment
like common
like that,
sense,
it seems like it,
but
right?
But you go into, it's a ballpark. My opinion as a consultant with small businesses, 8 out of 10 small businesses, maybe 7 out of 10 with ones I've worked with, they don't really have that environment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 34 years old, and so I think I'm on the high end of the millennial, right? But I
you
think
are,
if you look at 25, 24, recently college graduated, all the way up to, you know, late 20s, they don't want to work somewhere for 35 years and get a gold watch.
The average millennial, is going to have 16 jobs.
Right, exactly. So, like, if you're not, and I'm not trying to, like, pander to people. It's like, hey, there's ping pong and tacos, right? It's like, those are consequences of an environment that we've created, but I think they're gimmicky unless they're authentic and part of your core values, right?
100%. I agree, yeah. Tony Del Mercado is my guest. He's the COO of Hawk Media. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do here. And I'm curious, we said company retention, how you hire them, how you retain them. The question I alluded to was how do you know when to fire them?
How do you guys do that? It's tough. It's tough. I actually had an article published recently about how to or when to fire that person that you really like who's killing your company
and you spent time and energy and money training them and investing it in them.
It's a biggie, but it's that whole idea of like, don't throw good money after bad or good time after after bad. And we have three core values, which I've alluded to, which are, you know, get stuff done, learn quickly, be cool. Okay. So where we've had to let people
which
go,
which are very millennial value core.
Where we've had to let people go is around one of those three. There's a guy that I can remember distinctly. I really like him. USC grad, so cool, learned quickly, was just on point with everyone, really easy,
but he just
couldn't get stuff done. He was super cool. Great to get along with. We just couldn't, like, just continually execute, so we had to cut him loose, and that's hard, right?
You got a cool guy.
Cool guy, learns quickly, can't get the ball across the finish line, right?
Then you got to micromanage, and that's
and so that's,
nobody
that's
wants
a,
that.
A danger to us. And we had another guy, you know, excellent at execution, excellent in learning quickly, just not cool under pressure. Cool 70% of the time, but when there was a looming deadline.
But in a different context.
Yeah, just like tough to get along with, or like verbally or abusive to other people, or like not respectful. And so for us, that's hard. And then when we do have to cut the cord, I learned a long time ago, actually, when I was like 15 years old, a girlfriend's dad was an executive at American Express. And he said, you know, if you ever have to let somebody go, own it, tell them it's on you, tell them why. Give them the best and then let them go. And the other thing is Reid Hoffman had a Netflix deck that I think is pretty well known now that said adequate performance gets generous compensation. Mm. And that's kind of our philosophy.
I love that. I'm curious for you, what was one of the worst jobs you ever had? You talked about some of the businesses. You talked about some of the jobs. You talked about the job that really kind of changed your success and put you on the trajectory of the path you're on now, which was Cutco Knives. But did you ever have a job that you just hated? Like maybe you worked at, and has nothing against it, but maybe you worked at McDonald's or maybe you were a janitor. Nothing against those jobs, but just giving you an example.
Yeah, I think I've been very fortunate to like most of the jobs that I've had. I spent a summer doing demolition, like construction demolition, like swinging a sledgehammer through walls and breaking stuff.
That sounds kind of fun for a short period of time.
Very awesome for a short period of time. And it was amazing. Me and my best friend, so it worked out super great. But towards the end of the summer, they had us doing something called tending brick, which really means that you just carry brick up and down scaffolding and mix mud. And that sucked. That was no fun at all.
Last thing as we come to a wrap here, just what is your advice for the aspiring entrepreneur who's with us right now? And they have a 9-to-5 job and it's their only source of income. They have an idea. They're always tuned in. They love listening to different entrepreneur shows like ours at Business Rockstars. And they're trying to put the pieces together to get started.
You know, it's not...
If you're only working 9-to-5, that's not...
Yeah, you're not doing it right, right? I mean, if you're working 40 hours a week, there's another 40 available at least, right? I think that figuring out what is a great lever on your time and then pulling that lever really hard. And also, don't dabble, right? Dabbling's for buffets. Like when you're talking about your income or building a business, do something you're passionate
master
about,
it and
right?
Master
and be,
it.
Yeah, be a boss at it. Like until you're world class objectively, don't even bother throwing your hat in the ring. A long time ago, somebody told me there's some kid at Stanford that's eating ramen, sleeping on a couch that's just going to eat your lunch. You know?
Sounds like Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
I love that. Tony says, find your passion and be a boss at it. Tony Del Mercado in the house. I appreciate you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Reaching consumers in a personal way can mean big returns. Here are a few reasons you should make mobile marketing a priority. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, mobile reaches a newer, broader audience. Did you know some people don't use desktops and laptops any longer? An increasing number of people use mobile devices exclusively. Number two, social media offers ad platforms. Facebook and other platforms have realized the potential of mobile marketing. They've evolved their ad platforms to allow you to easily target mobile customers. You can get started simply by clicking a button. Number three, it's personal. Brands always look to get closer to their target audience, but it's hard to do that from behind a computer screen. Mobile devices are different. You don't get the same psychological effect with any other media. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Business Rockstars. So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
Over the last several years, have you been one of those people that have felt anxiety about things, but couldn't really put your finger on it? Couldn't really define why you're feeling anxious. Things are going pretty good in your life. Bills are paid. Kids are fed. Got a home. Has heat. But yet, you feel anxious. Anxiety comes from the government and not being able to control what they do to us. The solution? One, let it go. Just doesn't matter. I'm indifferent to what government does. They never call me and ask me for my opinion, and I'm not going to live my life waiting for it. I'm an individual. I'm Gary Rathman. It's an economy of 1 minute.
Learn more at aneconomyofone.com. NASDAQ.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. We've all heard the saying, your network is your net worth. So we're going to find out from David if you think that's true. My guest is David Dobkin, the president of investment banking at ASMX Capital. It's great to have you.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Your network is everything for your business. There's absolutely no company on earth that did it all by itself, or one entrepreneur who did it all by itself.
Yeah.
He had to have other people help. And so those relationships, those capabilities, those knowing the people who he needs to know when he doesn't know them, and making sure that he can connect.
So if I'm starting from scratch and I'm an aspiring entrepreneur, I'm just getting in the entrepreneurial game, I don't really know many people, my friends, my family, maybe they're not entrepreneurs either. And I don't know where to start. Do I reach out on email? Do I go to events? What do I do? How do I find these new people to be friends or partners?
The easiest and best thing that is available to you is the internet right now. You can be connected to anybody on earth relatively quickly.
Almost instantly.
And there's nothing you lose by trying to reach out and contacting the person that you think is going to help you.
The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to hear no, or you're not going to hear a response at all.
Right. And if you're persistent and you write a good email and explain your situation, as an entrepreneur myself, if I get an email like that in my inbox, it doesn't matter how that person figured out how to get to me. I'm very excited. And generally, at the end of my day or my weekend, when I have time to look at some emails, I'll type out a response to them. And I'll say, here, this is my phone number. Give me a call, whatever. Because I want to empower you. I've gone through the journey. I've been there. I've been at the bottom. I've had failure companies. I've had success companies. And I know what it's like to be an entrepreneur, and I know what it's like to start out.
And so if somebody reaches out to you in an elegant way, in a non-pushy way, and maybe even gives you a little praise because hopefully they did some research on your background, and they're asking just for like a little bit of advice or a little bit of mentorship, you're open to it.
Yeah. Mentorship is the best way to think about it. If someone's asking me for a job, I'm more likely to turn off if someone is asking me for just some help or some advice, because that makes me feel like I'm giving back. When someone's asking me for a job, I feel like that I'm being put upon. I don't want to feel like I'm put upon. I want to feel like I'm trying to give back.
Okay. And so maybe they could ask for 2 minutes of your time, 3 minutes of your time, something short just to get started. And if it's easier and you don't want to type it out, maybe we could really quickly hop on a call, or you could send me a voice message, right?
Absolutely.
Make it as easy as possible for the person that you're asking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Make it and give them every opportunity to say yes. Don't give them an out and saying, oh, if this is too much trouble, like that, that starts putting negative connotation on your email or your message, is going to give me a reason to say, this person's never going to succeed anyway because he's coming at it with the wrong personality. But
yeah,
that's exactly right.
And the key is, if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no anyways.
Right. And if you don't try, you know, the same thing is that you can be fearful of failure.
Which we all are, because we're literally hardwired. If you know anything about brain research and the latest research on neuroscience about how the brain works and why we do what we do, you can see because of all the years and years and years and centuries, we have been conditioned as humans to avoid pain, avoid fear. And statistically, we're 500% more inclined to want to avoid pain than we are to want to gain pleasure. And that's why advertisers and marketers tap into that all the time.
Yeah.
Is
fear and marketing.
Fear and marketing, right? Get you to avoid the pain of, or the fear, or whatever could happen. And think about insurance, right? Their whole business model is wrapped around you paying them money to avoid the potential problem that could come in the future.
That's a great business model, if you ask me.
It sure is. Yeah, I know lots of people that are in.
But essentially, that's the one thing that you have to overcome.
Fear of rejection.
Is fear of rejection. Because at the end of the day, the worst that happens is nothing.
That's right.
So if you can be satisfied, if you couldn't go to a bar and just test it out like that, and if you want to talk to seven girls and say, I'm going to get seven phone numbers, you have to talk to 50 people to get the seven numbers, or you have to talk to 100 people to get the seven numbers.
It's just like sales. It's a numbers game.
Eventually, you are going to break through. You're going to figure out the little minutia in terms of being able to tailor your message such that you can walk into a room with people and have that conversation and get to common ground and get to a place where you're talking to the person that you wanted to talk to face to face. And they're listening to you because you've had that capability of being able to say, all right, this is what I want to talk to him about and get in front of his face.
I think the key is when you're being persistent is to do it in a fun, playful way. That's sort of like, P.S., you know, if I'm reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, I'd love to train your salespeople, for example, right? I can help increase your sales by a minimum of 20%. I've done it with 50 other companies, and I'm confident I can do the same thing with your company based on the research that I've done. All I need is 3 minutes of your time by phone to explain to you how we can do this. And really, the phone is a tactic to get the in-person meeting. But you ask something like that, and they don't respond. And they don't respond, and they don't respond, and they don't respond. And you can play with them, and you could say something along the lines of, P.S., the reason I'm so persistent is because persistency, as we both know, is the key to success. Wouldn't you like to see your salesman be more persistent, right? And do you even track how persistent your salesmen are, or do you even know when they stop? Do they stop on the second call? Do they stop on the third email? And so you can make it fun and playful and almost curiosity driven. Like, aren't you curious why I keep reaching out? I must have something good to say. It's worth 60 seconds, I promise. And if it's not, the worst you lost is 60 seconds. And at the very least, you'll stop seeing my email in your inbox every week, right? You make it fun, you make it playful.
Yeah, that's from a sales perspective. Yes, absolutely.
Like, all depends on what you're doing. Right.
When you're building a business and you need to get to somebody else like that, you know, when you have that first circle and you're able to get those first connections, then you have to be able to rely on other people to make phone calls on your behalf to qualify you and say, hey, I'm reaching out to you because so-and-so made an introduction or something like that. And so that's when you have to then cultivate. It's a second step of networking where you're getting to common ground with the people that you've created that bond with. And so they might like mountain biking, or they might like the movies or something like that. And then you can have conversations about that where something that you and that other person have in common. And it's easy for you to have a normal conversation outside of what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
I love that.
When you're now friendly with somebody,
when you share something in common, that's the fastest way to build rapport, right?
Right. But then you're also getting past what it is that you and I are trying to do when we're in a business relationship. I have a goal. You have a goal. We want to get to that goal and move on to the next relationship. When I'm going out to dinner with a friend, I just want to learn what's going on with my friend.
Yeah.
I want to spend as much time as I can with my friend for that period of time until I'm going on to the next thing.
I love that. David, appreciate you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. They're free, unbiased research.
Biz Talk Radio.